Turn to Psalm 119, verse 81. Section we're in today is something called Kaf. It's another Hebrew letter. Everybody say Kaf. Or All right. It's pronounced just like Kaf. Yeah, thank you. That's exactly right. All right. Like I've said in the past, and I realize this is a long psalm, but the fact is, going through it, I think it's probably, most of you have probably read through it in your Bible reading, but I think we tend to read through things very quickly. And especially something that's like a long passage, we tend to read through it so quickly that we maybe don't pick up on some of the more particular items that the Holy Spirit can give to us as we take a little more time with it. And I am grateful, as we've mentioned before, that it's broken up into 8-verse stanzas. It's like a poem, and broken up into 8-verse stanzas that we can take a bite at a time and be able to open that up and see what the Lord has to say to us with respect to His Word. And of course, especially because the Word of God is the primary focus of this psalm. And David, in each verse, of course, as we've said, does comments on or brings to bear in every verse the Word of God. There's something about God's Word, God's law, God's statutes, God's precepts, God's testimonies that are important for us to recognize and to meditate on as we go through every struggle, okay? See, meditation upon His Word is the most important thing you can do to take care of every problem that happens in your life, that happens daily when you come into waking up. You wake up when the Word of God is your foundation, when His promise is your foundation, and then you have joy. You have joy. This work of the word of the law, God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, you would think that he would say, well, just remember it. Just remember it. But he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So you're going to say what the Word of God says. Like we prayed, sang the song this morning. I will say, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Psalm 91 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my tower. I will say of the Lord. See, God tells you consistently in His Word to repeat His Word. In His Word to declare His Word. Because why? Because you have so much stuff going on every day when you wake up that just comes and gets you in the face like your clown, like the bouncing down clown that we talked about earlier, that it just comes right up in your face. And it doesn't care about you. It just comes up in your face with a big smile and just wants to get you, wants to knock you down, wants to get your attention. You find that the cares of this life want to kind of get your attention. You remember over in Mark chapter 4 where he talks about the sower sows the word, and some of it falls on rocky ground, some of it falls on thorny ground. What do the thorns do? They grow up and they choke the word, and they choke the word and make it ineffectual. Right? Or the ones that falls on rocky ground it doesn't go into the ground and it just burns up because it doesn't have any root in it. So what the Word of God has to have is root. And as you meditate on the Word, as you do what the Lord told Joshua to do, is to meditate on this Word day and night. Now you don't have to carry a book tied to the front of your head like the phylacteries that the rabbis took, or the Pharisees took around, and they had them really big so that people could see them afar off. You know, so they look spiritual because you have, you basically be like if you tied the Bible to your head and you'd be walking around with it, you know, just to show you're spiritual. But no, you don't. But what he's saying is meditate on it day and night. Put this in your heart. Put this in your mind. Put this in your mouth. Because that's the only way that you're going to survive this world. The only way you're going to survive this world is by God's promises. Amen. And so you just meditate on that day and night. You know, God, you're good. God, you are good. And if you, and you, and it's not that God is mad at you if you don't. He's just saying, I got a whole pail full of blessing here. I've got a whole delivery of blessing for you, and it's right here. Where? As I receive of His Word. As I receive of His promise. That's where the blessing is. That's where the blessing is. And as you receive it, and as you meditate upon it, then it becomes part of you. It becomes part of you. It becomes part of what you, how you respond to any given situation. You don't respond. I was ran past a stop sign or something the other day. I did something I wasn't supposed to do. And I was just amazed. I didn't swear. I was just amazed. Just like, really? Most people would, you know, at least let out a, you know, something. You know, I'm just weird. And somebody would say, yes, you are. You know, and it's just amazing to me. Is that, but it, what it tells is the Holy Spirit tells you, is that you changed. You're different. Something's in you. The living God lives on the inside of you. And He changes the way you respond. Not only what you speak, like in an exclamation, but what you speak in what you have expectation of. What do you expect of this world? What do you expect of your life in this world? I expect God to be good. I expect blessing. Got two little granddaughters in wheelchairs. I expect blessing. Their parents expect blessing because they love, they know God is good. And so just because something turned out a way you weren't expecting it to doesn't mean that God is not good. God loves you. And He has given things to you. And He is putting blessing upon you. And say, Father, every day say, Father, I receive Your blessing today. I receive Your goodness today. Because how in Romans 8:32 He says, how shall He not with Him, He who sacrificed His own Son, how shall He not freely give us everything else? I mean, He gave you Jesus. He gave you the biggest thing that there was. I mean, why would He withhold anything else? No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. What's walking uprightly? It means in Jesus. Walking with faith in Jesus. Walking with faith in His promise. That's what it is. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let's look at this. Okay, first part of this verse, it says verse 81. Read those first three words, everybody. If you got King James, but it's probably the same anywhere you go. What do those first three words say to you? Verse 81 in Psalm 119 says, my soul faints. Well, that's depressing. My soul faints. Now, what's he talking about? My soul faints. I'll read the rest of it. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Well, okay. My soul faints, but I hope. Well, that's two different people doing two different things. Because my soul is fainting, desiring your salvation. It's trying. My soul wants to get whatever God has for me. My soul wants to get His salvation. Salvation is what? His healing, His deliverance, His mercy from and deliverance from sin, but also everything else. My soul faints for your salvation. I'm living in this world. Oh, it's just a beat me up every day kind of thing. Okay? That's your soul. That's your soul's response to the day, right? That's your soul's response to, wow, what else could go wrong? That's your soul's response to the day. My soul faints. Oh, but I, there's an I in there that's distinctive from your soul. And the I is you. The I is the heart that believeth unto righteousness. Well, this is Old Testament. Yes, but David believed God. Abraham believed God. and it was counted to him for righteousness. So that's where that faith in believing God at his promise, that's what brings righteousness. It brings righteousness, imputed righteousness. Abraham, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, once Jesus came, once Jesus died, rose again, that the finished work was done, but the imputation of righteousness is still there, but it's a completed work that Abraham was looking forward to. And in that, if Abraham was looking forward to it, what are we doing? We're looking back to it. So we're looking all back to all to the same point in time, which is when, in the fullness of time, Christ was born of a virgin, lived on the earth, lived a perfect life, was crucified, and rose again. That's the point at time that all are looking to, that God did the work through His Son Jesus, yet all believed unto that point. Moses talked about it. Jesus said, Moses saw my day. Moses said, there's another prophet coming. Hear him, like unto me, hear him. Then Jesus said, in John chapter 8, he says, Moses saw my day, or Abraham saw my day, and was glad. He also said, Moses saw my day. You're not even 30 years old. Hey, you know Moses? You know Abraham? How could that happen? And of course, obviously, because he was the Word. You remember the three visitors that Abraham had come to his tent and say that, hey, Sarah's going to have a baby in 9 months' time. Well, three strangers, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit showing up, manifesting, showing up in the Old Testament in Abraham's tent. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit showing up in your tent, showing up at your house, showing up at your doorstep. Sarah, get some grub. You know, get some barbecue. Bring them in. So all of that took place, and it's all because that faith in the promise is what's at issue. And that's how you live. You live every day by faith in the promise. All right? I hope in your word, because you are now born from above. Your spirit man has been born from above. Those of you who have received Jesus Christ have an I that is no longer just your old soul man who is born of the flesh and trying to make it through every day. You actually have been born from above. You have a spirit man that's living on the inside of you, and he is enjoying and feeding on that Word of God. And in fact, that Word of God is causing that spirit man to be stronger and to overtake the old man or the man of the soul, which depends upon mind, will, emotions, and experience to get through life. My soul faints for your salvation, verse 81 in Psalm 119, but I hope. Now the hope there is a fervent expectation of an already fixed fact. Okay, it's not like hoping and a praying, like, you know, we do here in the South. Well, I'm hoping and a praying. Hope everything, hoping and a praying, Brian gets better. No, I hope in your word. Amen. My hope is a fixed, rock solid expectation that I have that what God said, He is able to perform. In Romans, he talks about Abraham. Paul talks about Abraham and says he was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. What God promised, he's able to perform. Now, I may not have that. He didn't either. He didn't have this fully perfected either. You know, I mean, you know, he goes to Egypt and takes his wife down there and says she's my sister, and you know, because he's trying to kind of weasel around and make sure nothing goes wrong. We're kind of like that. We're kind of trying to make sure in this world nothing goes wrong. All right? That's called insurance. Yeah. You know, God, I'm believing you. How much? Yeah. Okay. Here's your check. Just in fact. Should have got flood insurance.
No.
No. Our hope is only in the promise of God. Isn't your hope in the promise of God? Now, don't pay attention to your mind over here going, well, yeah, but. Because your mind is now being, is no longer running the show, okay? Your mind is no longer running the show. Say, my mind is no longer running the show. Isn't that powerful? Now, I don't care whether you're and your mind's over there going, yes, I do. Just watch. You know, and he'll and your mind will come up with something else to say, well, and what about this? And you'll go, well, yeah. And, you know, so there's the confusion, isn't it? The confusion is that you've got a mind that's full of all kinds of experiences and full of all kinds of excuses, but the Word of God says, trust me. Okay. It's like, is there a punishment if I don't? Can I just not trust you and just buy insurance? You know, it's what we want to do. We want to do what feels better, for what feels more comfortable. But what God's doing is showing us that there is more to this salvation than just go to heaven when I die. It's living in His provision that He loves me and He's going to provide for me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good preaching. Praise the Lord. All right, that's just verse 1. Wow, it must get better. Okay, it says, my soul faints for your salvation, but I want you to, let's do that together. Say, my soul faints for your salvation. But I want you to manifest, I want you to emphasize the I, because it's different than my soul. I hope in your word. See the distinction there? So, you know, what? My phone says this, but I say this. Uh-huh. You ever had your phone say something? You know, ask Siri. Siri don't know nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, now Jesus, He says, so my soul faints. Now, you remember one thing I picked up was that story about the unjust judge, you know, the poor guy. The woman had faith. The woman believed, over in Luke chapter 18. The woman goes, you know, and she's continually going to this judge to make her case, and the guy's just wiped out. The guy's just, oh, man, will you just, woman, leave me alone, you know. But her persistence, because she believed, she had a God who was bigger than the judge. Amen. Amen? The judge is not God, okay, in this story. The judge is not God. God is not wearied by your prayer. The point is, she believed, and she wasn't going to take no for an answer, and God vindicated her. Amen? A lot of people think the judge is God. You're going to wear the guy down. You know, I'm going to beat the guy down, wear God down by my continual coming. No! It's like the woman who came behind Jesus in the press and she had the issue of blood. She kept saying, the Bible says, she kept saying, if I could but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be whole. That was her prayer before God. That was it. She just go walk to God and say, God, if I could just get to Jesus, I'm going to be healed. And Jesus had many instances like that. You know, is that, I mean, people just push through. And he would say, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. And the fact that you believed God, not faith in, like, you know, you had more faith than the guy next to you. Well, who's got $1,000? You know, you're gonna auction off the healing. You know, who's got 5,000? You know, it's not your faith is bigger. It's just your faith is the only thing you're coming with. Okay? You're not coming with good works. You're not coming with why you should get it. You're just coming with God's good. God's good. And I know that He loves me. And I know that He's going to meet my need. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So just God's not the unjust judge. The guy said, remember the story said this guy is an unjust judge. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 18, 1 through 8, you can read that. All right? Okay, here's verse 82, next verse. My eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? That's your soul again. So it's just to pick it up on the last verse. Is my soul faints, my eyes fail, I don't see. I can't see what you're doing. Lord, when are you going to comfort me? With the expectation, comfort's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I have all confidence that God is coming through. You know, Job was like, God, exactly what are you doing? Let's see. Did I sin? Not that I could see. And his guys had, you know, a bunch of, all of Job's friends had plenty of ammunition, you know. So, well, Job, it had to be this, or this. And Job's like, nope, don't see it. But he believed God. God had something he wanted to show. God had something he wanted to get to Job, and he wanted to be able to let him see it. And he knew that Job would see it. He knew that Job would see it. And so God, and then we finally end up that God finally is able to reveal himself to Job in a way that he had never seen, in a way that he had never known that God was for him. And he came to discover that God was for him, and he wasn't just, you know, trying to behave himself and do good and make sure that God liked him and make sure God wasn't mad about something. Most religion in the world is all about appeasing God, isn't it? Bring Buddha a bottle of beer and he'll be happy. You know, I don't know anything about Buddhism. I just heard Pastor Jim preach that once. You got to bring Buddha a bottle of beer. Does anybody know anything else? Good. Okay, we don't have any Buddhists in here. All right, praise the Lord. Or Muslim, you got to do this, and this. You got to make God happy. God's mad. I mean, every other religion, God is mad. You ever found that out? Even the Christian religions that make you do all the stuff, God is mad. You know, so basically, so the whole idea is God is mad, and he's coming after you because you have not measured up. Well, the whole point of Christianity is, yeah, you didn't measure up, and that's why God came. He came because he was going to help you. He was going to bring you in, and you weren't going to have to do a thing. Praise the Lord. That's it. That's who I am. I'm just a fish he caught. Praise the Lord. Amen. My eyes fail for your word saying. So see, you still got your soul saying, God, when are you coming? When are you going to show up? See, what did we say this morning? Let the weak say, I'm going down. Amen. Let the poor say, I'm broke. My eyes fail. God says, when you're not coming, are you? You're not even going to show up. Okay, verse 83. Now, and here's the last one. I love this one. This is great. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, you got to remember what a bottle was back in those days. A bottle was back in those days was a skin. It was like a wine skin, right? Made out of skin. They put oil on it, you know, to keep it soft and malleable, and you put the wine in there. Well, if a bottle got left out or got left in a room where there was, you know, it got dried out, or if it certainly in the smoke, like you left it in the smokehouse or something. If you left it in a house that was burned down or something, you're like a bottle in the smoke. What would happen to that wine skin? It weakens it. It dries it out, and it cracks, begins to leak. So dries it out, cracks, and begins to leak. That's a good 3-point sermon. All right? We're not going to do that one. But he says, for I am like a bottle in the smoke. This is the third verse talking about the soul. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet. We have a yet now. Yet. I do not forget your statutes. So we came back. You know, it seems like the soul kind of goes back and forth. At verse 81, I hoped in your word. Verse 82 was, oh God, when are you going to comfort me? When are you going to show up? And verse 3 says, we're back to, but I will not forget your statutes. Is that anything like your day? I hope in your word. Oh God, it's going bad. Oh, I hope in your word. I thank God. Is that your life? is that pretty much every day somebody kind of goes back and forth, back and forth. You know that's normal? That is a normal Christian day. David had that same day. You know? It's just like everything either is going great or going wrong. Have you ever had those kind of days? Like yesterday. Yesterday, today, and the next day. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Those are my 3 days. Where I'm become like a bottle in the smoke, cracked, leaking, cracked, dry, and leaking. Yet I do not forget your statutes. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. Here comes the world. The world is trying to wrap you around itself. It wants you to be like it. Okay? You know the world wants you to be like it. It wants you to fit in. The world wants you to fit in. That way you'll buy their products. That's why they advertise to you on Facebook. You know, they pop up everything. They know everywhere you went, everywhere, everything you bought, everything you've looked at. So they're, okay, we're going to sell you this. And if it ain't Facebook, it'll be something else. I guarantee you they'll find out. Well, I'm going to get off the grid. I don't buy that at all. Norman's tried this for years. You don't get off the grid. When you get off the grid, they're there. They're off the grid. They're the ones that sold that to you. And you bought it on the internet. I'm going to get off the grid. Where'd you get that? On the internet. Boy, you're worse off than I thought. All right. Be not conformed, shaped. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember what we talked about, what he told Joshua? Is this work, this word of the law, book of the law, shall not depart out of your mouth. That means it's all, your mouth just never runs out. Your mouth never runs out of God's word, of God's promise. God's good to me. You know what? I don't even have to quote it. I don't even have to quote a verse. I just kind of quote around a verse. Because I know the truth is that God's always for me. Can you say that? Well, I can't remember a verse. Say God is for me. And God's not against me. He that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. That's an easy one. That's almost English. You know, I can only read the King James. Well, then memorize that one. You know, he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. That means that it's talking about the devil. And so I guess it's also talking about your flesh. You know, you want to blame the devil. How about just blame you? How about that? We just blame you for, you know, deciding that, you know, I'm not quite sure. No, God is good. And His mercy endures forever. God's good and His mercy endures forever. Well, God's mad at me. No, God's good and His mercy endures forever. He's loving me. Well, everything's going wrong. Okay, God loves me and His mercy endures forever. Because who's saying everything's going wrong? Well, it's either you or the devil. It's not God. He's not saying that. He's saying I did everything for you. Didn't He say that? Look, all of your sins are of no consequence to God. He can handle all of your sin. So what you want to do is say, God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me and I'm not under bondage to any sin. Because I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. The love of God is on the inside of me. If you wanted to go to chair 5, the best way to go to chair 5 is start boldly talking about what God said and then walk straight down the road with it. So walk straight down the road saying exactly what God said. Amen? Because, I mean, you will be attacked like nobody's business. That's the part that people don't like, is the fact that the world, the flesh, and the devil, say those three, the world, the flesh, and the devil. See, if you don't want to say that, then, you know, that's your first problem. Because those are your three, you know, we got mind, will, and emotions. Well, I got another three for you. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are the ones that affect your mind, your will, and your emotions. They're the ones that get your attention and say that God didn't do it. God's not good. God's not in charge. You know, I'm in charge. And that could be the world, that could be the flesh, could be the devil. Could be any one of those three that in any given circumstance, one of those is saying, I'm in charge and God's not. That's a lie. Amen? What I'm trying to encourage you today is that your mind, your will, your emotions, your flesh, your soul is not in charge. Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, is in charge. He's in charge of your spiritual growth. You're not in charge of your spiritual growth. You're not in charge. Could say that too. I'm not in charge. I'm not. God likes me, and all He wants to do is just get me to repeat His promise and to say what He said and to agree with what He said. He loves me, and I'm happier than I've ever been. I'm going to be happy tomorrow. Just say that. No, that just makes everything mad. You just say you're going to be happy tomorrow. I'm going to be happy tomorrow. Well, I don't know what's coming tomorrow. How can I make that kind of commitment? I just might want to cry tomorrow. I'll just say I'm going to be happy tomorrow, and I'll trust God to finish it. Amen? You don't need to know what's happening tomorrow. You just make a decision right now. You just make a decision right now that what God began, He's going to finish. I don't forget your statutes. So be not, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means changing your mind out of what you think into what God says. Also, 1 Peter, you look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13, 14, 15. It talks about the fact that everything that I've told you, Peter says, everything that I've told you, I'm going to keep telling you until I'm dead. So that after I'm dead, you'll keep remembering it. So that's why we keep saying the same thing around here, is so that you will remember after we're dead. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you don't die before we do. But you'll remember these things, especially if you're young. You know, you'll be remembering these things until I'm dead. Until, before you die. Is it, you're going to be filled with the Scripture. I'm going to read that Scripture because I like it. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get a hold of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but He which has called you is holy, so be you in all manner of conversation. And I'm in the wrong chapter, but that's a good one. Amen. Yeah, somebody needed that too. All right. What did I accidentally read? Oh, you need that one?
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13, 14, 15. All right, now. Second Peter chapter 1. I thought I'd look this up correctly today. It happens to all of us, you know. Verse 12 says, 2 Peter chapter 1, it's right next door. It's not far. Just like two pages over. Wherefore, Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. Well, I know that. I don't know. Why is he saying that again? I will not be negligent. It would be negligent of me not to put you in remembrance of these things, even though you know them. And you are established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or proper, correct, as long as I am in this body, this tabernacle, to stir you up. So that's what we're doing. Stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, my body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, verse 15, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in your remembrance. All right. Verse 84 in Psalm 119. Hope you keep your finger in there because we could jump around. How many of the days of your servant? How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me? God? I mean, after all, this is getting old. Okay, now, look here in verse 69 of the same chapter. Now, here's his experience. The proud, we read this a couple of weeks ago, the, The proud have forged a lie against me. That ever happened to anybody? Forged. Forged. What does that mean, to forge something? Create it. Means to... Another thing, you could frame it. The proud have framed me. They put me in a box. They got me in right where they want me. They have formed a lie against me. They have forged a lie against me. Okay? But I... There's the I again. Everybody say I. I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Verse 69 in Psalm 119 says, the proud have created a lie against me. Anybody ever had that happen? Is that somebody has put a lie against you, put a lie on you, and pinned you with it. And the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep. The word keep, you remember the word keep, is to guard, to observe, and to hold on to keep, like keep it. It's not as much like obey as it is to make sure that you don't lose it. It doesn't get away from you. So the word keep, notsar, in the Hebrew says, I will keep your precepts with my what? Whole heart. Now, did David know anything about a whole heart? I don't know what he knew, but he said, created me a clean heart. So he had an expectation. Psalm 51, you remember, after he confessed his sin, the Bathsheba sin, to Nathan after he was caught. You know, later he writes the Psalm 51, says, created me a clean heart. So he has an expectation because he's asked God to give him a clean heart. So, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. So here in Psalm 119, he's saying he's got a whole heart. Somehow he's got the idea that he's got a whole heart. I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Now, I want you to assume that you, because of Jesus Christ, you have a whole heart. Your heart is whole, complete, isn't it? Say, I've got a whole heart. Isn't that great to have a whole heart? Your heart's whole. It's complete. And he's filling that heart up. And he's making it pump out and take over. Everything is he's taking over by your heart as you meditate upon His Word. As you meditate upon His Word, it's not something you're performing or doing or creating. It's something He's doing. His Word actually is like throwing the fertilizer all over your garden. He is actually changing you and transforming you as you're meditating upon that Word day and night. Right? He's changing you. Now again, we're not talking about a work. What we're talking about is an opportunity that the Lord opens up and says, trust me and utilize what the Word that I've given you. Utilize the promise that I've given you by just agreeing with it. Just agree with it. Don't change your outward behavior unless He gives you strength to do it. He'll say, hey, go do one of these. Oh, okay. You know. All of a sudden you'll find your resistance to His suggestion, to his command, is no longer as vociferous. Vociferous. I'm trying to think of a better way. That's a good way to say it. But it's not as strong. Your resistance is down because He's changed you. He's changed. He's gotten rid of flesh. And all of a sudden you find yourself doing... Romans 7 is great because the thing I don't want to do is the thing I do, and the thing I do is the thing I don't want to do. Is Paul fuddling with his flesh. He doesn't... God, you know, I'm being shook up. The thing I want to do is the thing I can't do, and the thing I can't do is the thing I don't want to do, and I'm just a mess. But in Romans 8 he says, there's at the end of chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through my Lord Jesus Christ. With my mind, I serve the law of God, that is my renewed mind, and with my flesh, the law of sin. There's the observation. The observation is, I got half of me doing this and half of me doing that. What is it? You know, you're kind of a mess when you get born again. Because half of you is doing the will of God, and the other half of you is doing the will of the flesh, and you're just like, Jesus, help. What am I doing? How do we do this? He says, trust me. You remember Peter out there on the water? When Jesus appears out there, coming, walking on the water, and then all of a sudden, he says, Jesus. They're all freaked out first. And then he says, Jesus, is that you? Bid me come to you on the water. Well, that's the Spirit going, yeah, come out there. You know, and then all of a sudden he gets out there. Uh-oh. All of a sudden he sees the winds boisterous and the waves. And all of a sudden what begins to happen? He gets the flesh. He begins to sink. So it wasn't like he was, glory to God. You know, as long as he was looking at Jesus, it was okay. But then he started looking at everything else. That's what we're talking about today, is your soul looks at everything else. Your soul looks at everything that's going wrong. Your soul looks at everything that's going wrong. That's the old man that's still living in your flesh, in your body. That's the old man. But the new man is just as alive. And he is, in fact, quickening. That word quickening means making alive your spirit man and your flesh. He's overcoming your flesh and renewing your mind, changing your mind. Your mind is being changed without getting a college degree. You're getting a degree in the Scripture. You're getting a theology degree, but you're not going to seminary for it. You're just going through chair five. Yeah. You're going through discipleship. Somebody, if everybody's ever listened to Pastor Jim's tapes and you're listening to this one right now, chair five means discipleship after you've been born again. There, see, I said it. Out loud. Praise the Lord. And then chair six is the completed work. Now, you kind of bang back and forth, really, between 4, 5, 6, 4, 6, 4, 5, 6, 5, 4. You're really, in various parts of your life, you kind of bounce all back and forth. You're not in chair six. Oh, glory to God, I made it. Uh-uh. As long as you've got this flesh, you're going to be back and forth between 4, 5, and 6. All kinds of playing, you know, all kinds of back and forth. Because God is doing all kinds of things to transform you and to change your thinking and then to change your actions. Right? So don't worry about what it looks like. It's kind of like women going to get their hair done. I got to go to one of these places to get my hair cut. And it's got all these women who are getting their hair done the other way too. It's not just a regular barbershop, right? Guys, some of you, would it, I don't know if you'd admit to going to one of those places. And you wouldn't believe what happens to some of these women to look wonderful. They got foil, aluminum foil, and paint brushes. Jamie, come on. You know, they got stuff. You don't have to do that, but they got stuff going on. And you say, oh, I hope nobody, I hope we don't have a fire. These gals have been running out in the middle of the street. Oh, dear. Anyway, but it's like they say in the legislature, making the laws is like making sausage. You don't want to see how it's made. You don't want to see how a Christian's made, do you? I mean, it's ugly. Really, Cassie, it's ugly to see how a Christian's being made. It is. Because you just, you know, you can't count on it. Especially if you're married to somebody, you just can't go, I thought you were a Christian. Well, you know, you remember the little button? I can't remember all the letters, but it was, it had all the initials, Leah. Had all the initials. I'm calling on people I know who know this. The little button on there, please be patient with me. God is not finished. You know, the PBP, PB something. PBP. And I'm not going to remember it all. But please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. That's true, isn't it? And he's not going to be finished until Jesus comes. But every day, let's rejoice and give him thanks. Every day, let's jump out of bed, both feet on the floor, happy as we can be, because we know that God is for me, he's in me, he's through me. And if you happen to grump, you know, when you get up and you know, slip on the floor and fall down or something, just, Father, thank you that you love me. Father, thank you that everything is going my way. Everything is going my way. The scripture said, you know, Paul and Peter, they all knew that, you know, that they were going to be killed for the sake of the gospel. But they just said, it is a matter of fact issue. It wasn't like, dear God, I'm going. You know, it was like, hey, let's just rejoice and give thanks. Because God's doing mighty things and He's going to keep doing mighty things even after I'm gone, Peter said. All right? So how many are the days of your servant? I don't know. When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me? So he says, the prowls have forged a lie against me. And look at verse 75 here. Oh my gosh. You never think you have enough to fill all the time. Verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. This is 75 in 119. 75 in Psalm 119. We talked about it last time we were together. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that you in faithfulness have afflicted me. Then you look at Hebrews chapter 12, talks about the servant he loves, he chastens. That is, he allows certain things to come your way so they kind of nudge your flesh over here. You know, they kind of nudge your flesh over to this side, you know, because you're not going. You know, you're not moving that direction. So the Lord is saying, okay, I'm not trying to wipe you out or anything. I just kind of want you to move this way. And sometimes you're not doing that because you've got a wrong belief system. You're thinking something else. You're thinking something contrary to God's promise. And God is allowing something to happen that will move you out of that expectation that, you know, that you had. That you had a wrong expectation. All right? So, he said, in faithfulness you have afflicted me, or allowed affliction to come my way. All right? Now, quickly, I'm going to finish this up. The proud, verse 85, the proud have digged pits for me which are not after your law. Psalm 57:6 says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. My soul. There's a soul again, remember? So, oh, they're coming at me. They're coming after me. All the troubles of the world are on top of me. My soul is bowed over. Is bent over. I just can't take it anymore. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. So the change, you see, I have a statement that comes out of my flesh, but immediately my spirit comes against it with truth. That's what's happening in your growth. Just go ahead and let the thing continue through. Oh God, don't be upset about the fact that you complained, but just let the thankfulness to God come out as well. Just like this. This should be all your statements. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Finish every sentence with thanksgiving. Finish every sentence with glory to God. If you have a complaint coming out of your mouth, let the word of God come out of your mouth on top of it. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst of which they are fallen themselves. Every devil, every enemy, every trouble, every problem, there's a pit. They dug a pit for me and they fell in it. And it ends with Selah. Think about that. Amen. All right, let's... 86, all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. All your commandments are faithful. Psalm 106, verse 1, verse 11 says, and the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. 87, They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not your precepts. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of God, sons of Jacob are not consumed. Verse 87 again, they said, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not your precepts. And finally, verse 88, quicken me. Make me alive. Let your life flow through me. Quicken me after your long loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of your mouth. As you quicken me, Lord God, I will keep, hold, remember, observe, guard. You're going to keep the testimony of his mouth. You're going to remember the testimony of his mouth. The testimony of his mouth is going to be the testimony of your mouth. Verse Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And finally, John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. So where's your life? In the Spirit. The flesh profits, flesh is not profitable at all. It profits nothing. So the Word of God is your meditation. The Word of God is, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all of the day. Let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable. What does he want to hear? He wants to hear his word. He wants to hear you repeat what he says. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen?
Amen.
God is working in you because he's giving you his Spirit, you're born from above, and the loving God is on the inside of you, transforming you and changing you. You do come back and forth and back and forth because your mind is being renewed, your soul is being transformed and changed from that which believes in this world to that which believes in heaven and the things of God in the earth. Amen? So your joy is full. So Father, we thank you today that the power of the living God is working on the inside of us through your word. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. When God speaks, creation occurs. So Father, we thank you that there is creation, creative work going on the inside of our flesh and our minds and our will and our emotions right now. And we're being totally transformed, totally changed, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He's changing me from faith to faith, from glory to glory. As we look upon him, as we look upon him, he is transforming me into his image. I am rejoicing. I am full of peace. I am full of joy daily as I put my feet upon the floor because I know that this God has given me Jesus, given me life, and now he's given me all things. So, Father, I trust you with everything. I cast all of my care upon you because you care for me. In Jesus' name, amen.